Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I've written 4 books. The first, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt, and that book talks about my life, you know, from the beginning until I entered into my marriage covenant with my husband and how things went with that and wound up being divorced, a victim of domestic violence, homeless. And I began to reposition myself for the life that I now live. So I'm excited about that book. That was my first book, my signature book. And then I went to write Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. You know, a lot of times we go on living our daily life, but we forget to forgive as we move on. And forgiveness doesn't mean we forget, but what forgiveness does is set you free so that you can create the life that God intended for you to have in the first place. And then I went Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversity. And that book was dedicated to my children. I have 2 of my children that wrote in the book. I have 4. And a lot of times they go through opposition in life, but you're able to move forward. Once again, you have to forgive, and you have to celebrate the life that you do have and know that there's so much more. It's you know, when you have so many young people going through obstacles and peer pressure and stuff, if you aren't able to pour and seed into their lives, they will be lost. So I wrote that book to motivate and inspire them. And then Unlimited Possibilities, The Roadmap to Restoration. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. God has blessed us with unlimited possibilities. What we see every day is not all there is. So I'm excited about that book, and you can visit my website. I invite you to visit it and peruse through the pages. It's an extensive website that caters to almost every aspect of your life, and you can simply log on to fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's fromthesoulofawoman.com. I have with me tonight my co-host, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone. I myself, as well as an entrepreneur, an author, a motivational speaker, and a mother of 3. I am so honored to have you all on the call, on the show tonight, and I'm looking forward to a wonderful evening with you.
I am so delighted that you were able to join us and also be my co-host, Shirley. For a couple of years, we've been talking about a book, and you were saying you were going to get your book out, but then you blindsided me and released this book, Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man. You debuted it last month for the new year, and being that love is in the air, it's February, it's Black History Month, a lot of things are going on this month, but you know, every day, and every month, individuals are searching, trying to find their soulmate, trying to find love, trying to excel to the next level. However, they are looking for that spouse, that partner, that love of their life. And this book is timely. So tell us about how you came to write Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man.
Well, it was something, you know, first it didn't start out being Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man. I have to tell you, the book took a turn. It started out being about relationships and we as women, how sometimes we can get so consumed with relationships that we lose ourselves. And my first title was Sisters Pump Your Brakes. But the more I wrote, the more it became to me that men are really struggling trying to understand women. And so I have to say the Lord dropped it in my spirit to change the book. And so I changed it from the to the inside of a woman's mind and the soul of a man, because it deals with a woman's mind and how a man reacts from his soul. So with that being a title, I was able to flow more with the book. And I deal with different aspects of a relationship. And the book content, it's something, it's not male bashing. Like there's a lot of books that are out there and they bash the male and the men don't read it. But it's also an insight for women to help us understand why do we think the way we think, why do we react, and why do we put ourselves second, and for men to understand that we think our mind can take us to places that they can't even imagine. But this, hopefully, this book will help give them an insight of our mind and will also give us a better understanding of why we allow our mind to take us there and why we react in certain ways, and also why do we get into the relationships that we do get into and wonder, how did we get there? How did we get in this? And why do we keep repeating some of the same habits? So I hope everyone will get something from this tonight and that the book will be like a catalyst for you to move forward in your relationship, whether you're looking for a relationship, whether you're currently in a relationship, or whether you have a life partner or you're married. And I mean, it's just something for everyone is in this book.
Something for everyone, huh? Even me, huh?
Yes. And even me, the writer, because it has helped me get a better clarity for myself. Even though I wrote the book, but it was, if you ever can, you know, identify with what I'm about to say, you would understand. Have you ever just been in a zone in your writing, and then when you go back and read it, and you go, I said that? It's, to me, that's when I'm allowing God to use me to express certain things. And not only is it to help someone, but it also helps me. So I've been blessed to do this, and Val, I'm so honored to be on the show tonight to share it with everyone else that is on the show. Thank you for giving me the spotlight.
Well, this promises to be an exciting show. You know, every time we do segments on relationships, it's my most listened to shows because, as I said, everybody's trying to find out answers, and I don't know why relationships have to be so difficult. You know, there's a lot of power play that go on in relationships, and if you're women of a certain age, as we are, we're old school, and we're taught that the man is supposed to do certain things as it relates to a woman, but the rules of engagement have changed drastically. It used to be so where when you went out on a date, it was because of the man asked. And now it's changed. If you don't ask, you won't be going out on a date because a lot of the men are intimidated by women of power, women of substance. And also some are just plain simply shy. But we had a show a couple of years back, and one of the titles of the show, because we did like a 4-6 week segment on relationships. And one of the segments that was very interesting to a lot of individuals was, why do good guys get bad girls? And that went on, you see I do hour shows, but that went on, you may as well say, for 3 hours. Because we did it each week, that people just was like emailing and calling me and said, well, I think we should visit this, and this is why this is going on. So I think this will be an interesting show as it relates to inside the mind of a woman and the soul of a man, because you cover a lot of areas in your book. So what do you have to say about that? Why do good guys get bad girls?
What with that aspect of it, you know, it still goes back to the old saying that the opposite attracts. And a lot of time, the good guys find themselves trying to be that knight in shining armor for for that bad girl. In other words, they look beyond the badness, and they look for that little teeny bit of goodness in her, and they try to mold that and change that to make her into that ideal woman for them. Because 9 times out of 10, when you say good guys like bad girls, you know, I'm just going to keep it 100 with you. It's not so much that they like what she does. They like the excitement. They like the drama. That little part in there that they like, that spark, you know, that spice, the sex, the fighting. They like that. But once they get into that and realize that I can't live like this forever, that's why you see a lot of times when the good guy is like the bad girl, he's either going to become a bad guy or it's going to end. Because if the lady does not change, which it finds it very difficult sometimes once you get a certain age to change the way you are. If they don't change, then they end up breaking up or divorcing if they got married or whatever. But the point is that inside of every person, there's that one little piece in there that they like the spice. They like that spice. And being a bad girl or a bad guy, that's that spice that the good girl or the good guy likes. It's very addicting, and it can be consuming, and it can take you to another level. It's like it's taking an emotional high. And then when you crash from that, you crave for that high again. So you have that bad girl who can pick you up and drop you down, pick you up and drop you down. The same thing with a good girl with a bad guy, that feist and that fire in there. We as women look at that bad guy as, oh, I got a macho man. Oh, he's tough. He's rough. You know, he's a roughneck. And every woman, I don't know a woman on this earth that does not like a little of that in that man, not to the point that it's physical, that it's abusive or anything like that, but that aggressiveness, that adrenaline rush. Every human being has a desire for a rush, the excitement. So it looks and then it feels good and it tastes good because we're in this age, if it feels good, if it looks good, and if it gives me that spark even for a moment, I want it. We crave it. It's like having an addiction to a drug or something. And I'm going to get into that in the book about why we as women react to bad guys and why we get into some of these relationships. There is actually a chemical that releases in our body. And men are beginning to learn this, and they know this, and they're beginning to use this to get what they want out of a woman. So it's not in our mind. It is actually a physical thing that happened to us. So stay tuned for that part.
Okay, no, I think they'll have to purchase the book in order to read some of that, but I just wanted to open the show because I know that that particular topic was a really hot topic from the soul a little over a year ago. As I said, it went over to 3 or 4 weeks that we went into the good girl and with the bad guy and the bad girl with the good guy, and I thank you so much for summing that up. Because it's, I mean, you say it and it's so practical and it makes a whole lot of sense, but it's just like the Thornbirds with Richard Chamberlain at the end when he's dying. For those of you that are listening that don't know about that movie, I recommend it highly, the Thornbirds. It's a very, very long series, but it's a love story between a priest and one of his lay members that he was in love with since she was a child. But at the end of that movie, Richard Chamberlain was sitting there and he was talking to the love of his life, and he was saying that love is it's like thorn birds, that we long for it, we want it, and birds, those thorn birds gravitate to thorns, and they fly into it, knowing that when they fly into that thorn, it's going to pierce their hearts and kill them, but yet they're driven to do it. And relationship and love is just as he described. We can know that a person is toxic, know that that individual will be a train wreck to us, but yet we gravitate to it. We still do it because of what you explained, that high, that thrill for the moment. What is it going to take, or what are we willing to sacrifice just for a thrill for a moment, and is it worth it? Count up the cost. I think we should all count up the cost as it relates to relationships. Is it something that we're willing to do? Are we willing to die? Are we willing to die to who we are, die to our dreams, die to the possibilities just for a few moments of love, for a moment of bliss, and to fly into that thorn knowing it will pierce our hearts and eventually kill us? Shirley, what is one of the main chapters in your book that you felt that you gave the most attention to?
I would have to say in finding the one, there's a couple that I gave more attention to. One's Journey to Love and Finding the One. Finding the One, and that one dealt with, you know, really doing some soul searching and connecting with the right one, and then not losing yourself in the process, because so often we do that with, you know, as humans, men and women, we lose ourselves in searching for that one true love. We tend to, and the thing about it, when we lose ourselves, we don't know that we've lost ourselves till we're so consumed with the relationship that it becomes an effort to try to even express yourself and be who you are, that you just even just, like you said, that moment of having that moment of what are we willing to sacrifice. We have, some of us have sacrificed everything just to hold on to that one person that we think is the one. So there's a lot in that chapter that deals with that. How do you reconnect? How do you find yourself? So that chapter deals a lot with not just finding the one, but also finding the one without losing yourself.
I think in relationships, it's kind of difficult to lose track of who you are. I think it's difficult to try to hold on to who you are. You lose track because women, especially emotional beings, and like I said, we gravitate, we're always wanting to be loved, and because we're emotional beings, it's something, we're givers, we're natural givers, so we're going to give, we're going to serve, but the key is finding that one that won't be manipulative to take advantage of what we have to offer is the key.
That's the key, true, but when it really comes down to it, we're all human, and we're creatures of habit, and once, you know, you don't know that if you got one, like a friend or a foe, that's another chapter that I have, you really don't know until you're so deep in. When you get so deep into the relationship, and then you find out, well, he's not really for me. He's for himself all the way. So when do you pull back? How do you pull out of it when you have committed so much? And I deal with it not only from a woman's perspective, but also from a man, Because when I say, you know, the mind of a woman and the soul of a man, the man puts his soul into it. There's men that put their soul into it. They come from the soul. When they come from the soul, that's why we have so many men that are broken. Because when they come from the soul like that, and they're putting that everything into that, and they're expected to be reciprocated, and they don't, then you have a broken vessel. We as women, we're emotional beings, but we're very strong. We are very strong. We may be bent, but we don't break. A man from his soul can break. And when you break that man down, the next woman that comes along, it's almost impossible to build him back up, because you have this broken vessel which he has given his all from his soul. And to bring that soul back into place, there's the part that would never be back. But we as women, we can clear our minds, we can refocus, and we can build from that point. But we can also be guarded, too. But that man is going to be more so not whole anymore because of his soul has been involved in that relationship and broken down so much. And you can break a man down so much that you can never put him back. And that is where we come into the point of the broken brothers that is at a point that they will not give themselves totally to another woman. They won't. And they can be good men, but you would never get a full man again, not his whole soul. And that is covered in my book.
Okay. Well, I've been getting some emails and stuff and individuals and some of the men, and they are. One of the comments was that you are right on it, and also that you're in the vein with the book. So I guess they will be purchasing your book, your new release by Shirley Carter, Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man. Now, Shirley, the experience from writing this book, they were like, I know there are people that are saying, well, you know, how can you write a book like this? You know, how come you think you know so much about the male species?
Well, I would have to say it goes back beyond me as myself, and it goes through my relationship. But I was raised with mostly men. I had 10 brothers, and I've seen them, their soul, pour their souls into relationships. I've seen them turn cold. I've seen them being lovable. And then I, myself personally, my relationship, I've been married 4 times, and I deal with that in this book as well, about the journey that I went through and the journey that I saw the men in my life went through. And to this day, I never meant to break any hearts or anything, but I know their spirit was broken, and I know mine was broken, but I've been able to rebuild. But I can see in there some of them, they have not. And it wasn't just from my relationship with them, but a series of relationships they went into after me. So I've been able to keep in contact with some of them, and we've shared thoughts and their pain, and I've seen it. And like I said, I had 10 brothers, and I've seen some of their relationships. And I just gravitate. I have a lot of male friends, platonic friends. And to share in there was, you know, how they felt. And I listen, and I hear how they speak, and they speak from their soul, especially when they're hurting. And they can open up to me and share different things. And I said, they're broken. Their soul has been damaged, and it's hard to pull it back together. So I take my experience from my own personal life, and I take the experience of living life and being observant of other people's lives and situations.
Okay. Well, I have like two sons, and I tell you that I kind of shudder to think what kind of husbands, what kind of that they would be, because you know, with the relationships that they watch, with me being, you know, victim of domestic violence and seeing that, you know, go through the home, and then I have my daughters that I fear won't be able to release themselves wholly into a relationship because they may have adapted the mindset. I don't know, I'm just saying, and because I know it does indeed happen, where they say, I'm not going to let anybody treat me like that. I'm not going to fall into the trap. I'm not falling in love. I'll never give my heart over to anyone. Do you address that in your book?
I do. I address that in that book because there are so many people that are in positions that are like that. And what I address with it is that how do you get back to the basics? How do you, you know, move past the pain? How do you reconnect? Because so often people have disconnected, and then you have to reconnect. Because when you disconnect and you pull back so much and you build walls and fences and blocks, you know, you become like an island, and it becomes a situation where you're not going to treat anyone like that, but you begin to treat someone else like that. Because you're so busy trying to build this guard around yourself and that you're not going to fall in love, you're not going to do this. And then you end up breaking hearts and destroying lives because of your own self of protecting yourself, that you become that person that you don't want to be involved with. So it's about being disconnected. So there's a chapter I call Have You Disconnected? And I talk about that and how you can reconnect.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I think I've been divorced 17 years, and I find that every day I'm still trying to reconnect and rediscover who I am, what I like, what I don't like. And it is a difficult challenge when you've been in a way for so long, and especially if it was a toxic situation, it's harder to dig your way out of toxicity than it is when something was good and something was powerful and something was great. It's not as though, you know, some people lose their spouse to death. But when it happens as it relates to divorce, the bad thing about that is when you divorce an individual, even though divorce is similar to death, you still see the corpse walking around and reminds you of your pain and your disgust and your disappointments every day. So it becomes a constant reminder, a constant badger of what was. So talk about that.
So one of the things I feel about that situation, when you divorce and everything and you still see that, what you are allowing yourself to do is allowing your past to control your future. And so often people don't see that part, that I am still under that person's control. They have so much power in my life that I can't move forward. And so I talk about, how do you let go? How do you find yourself again? You know, you have to first start forgiving yourself. Because so often, and then forgive the other person, we deal with unforgiveness, and it controls us. It controls our every being. You know, and I talk about a situation, can you see yourself? And sometimes you have to step outside, as I say, outside the box, and look in, or get out of the window. Get out of the frame and look at the window from a different perspective. Because if you're in the frame, and that, when I say frame, I'm talking that frame of mind and everything about, I went through this, I went through that, I divorced him, he or I divorced her, they're walking around happy and everything. Of course they are, because they moved on. They're not connected to you anymore. Once that paper was signed, but usually before the paper is signed, they've already disconnected from you. But the point is that that person that has been abused and everything, and then I was in a domestic violence relationship too at one point. I was able to forgive him, and I forgave myself for allowing myself to stay there and to take it as long as I did. And at the time, I didn't know it was domestic violence. I didn't know I had to forgive him either. But it took years later, and I did that, and it gave me a sense of freedom that I've learned over the years, no matter what relationship I've had, to let go, forgive, and move on. Don't hold on to that, because if I hold on to anything that is negative, I didn't say you can't be friends with anyone, but any negativity, it will control you, it will consume you, it will make you angry, and before you know it, 5, 10, 15 years or whatever have passed by, and you're still stuck. You've got to let go. If that means that you even have to have a conversation, not necessarily with that person, because I don't know what type of relationship, you know, someone has with their ex. Even if you have to write a letter, 1 page, 5 page, 10 pages, it doesn't matter. Get it out. Let go and move on.
I think that's what provoked me to write my book, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt, was because I didn't have anyone to communicate to. So I just started writing my feelings, how I felt about situations. And in that came my healing, because it brought me face to face with myself. Now, it's not that easy with a lot of people, and, you know, I was a victim of domestic violence, and a whole lot of things were going on there in that, but because I had a relationship with God in the midst of the battle and the storm that I was in, I was able to pull myself together better or quicker than some individuals who did not have God in their life. So, you know, in different situations, different scenarios of, you know, ways to make it through and to go through a situation. But I tell you, when you're in the heat of the battle, it's almost like, you know, there is no upside to anything, because you feel like you're displaced. But one of the things that I realized that I had to do in the process of pulling back the layers and rediscovering who I was, I didn't go to counseling for somebody to tell me to forgive. I knew that the more I watched him walking around smiling and grinning and being engaged to different individuals at different times, I realized that it was killing me and making me angry, and I had a wall up of hate and anger, and that's not who I was. And I made a conscious decision that I was not going to allow it to eat me away and take any more of my life away. I felt that I had already given this individual too much of my time, too much of my life, to allow him to take the rest of it. So in that, I found the power and the strength to move on and get out of that situation and create the life I now have.
Amen. And that is, you know, I am so happy that you shared that about how you started journaling, writing, and that's how you wrote your book. But you released everything you had inside of you into that book. Because you, like you said, sometimes some people don't have someone they can talk to, or they can talk to someone and may not be able to get an understanding of what is they're trying to get out of them. They may still hold back some, but when you got that pen and that paper, and there's nobody but you and that pen and that paper and God, you can pour your heart out. You can be angry. You can use all your emotions and put them in writing. And you don't have to do anything with it, but you can get that stuff out of you, so you can start to heal. But that is so important that you got to get it out of you, though.
Okay, I have another question for you. Mm-hmm. What do you think as far as shacking, living in, individuals living together before marriage?
As before marriage?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. Because, you know, when we talk about that, there's so many dynamics to that. Is that person, have they ever been married? Are they single? Do they have children? So I'm not one that's just going to say, oh, sure, just live together. No. You need to know who you're dealing with. You really do. But before you even go to any aspects like that, I, you know, believe in, you got to know who you are before you even go start cohabitating with someone. And if you have children, because I deal with that, that's another one. When I talk about what's wrong with this situation, there are situations and relationships out there where people get involved in relationship with someone and they have children. And the other party that they're involved with doesn't even know they have children because they've been able to hide those children and build a relationship or some type of connection with the person without even exposing their children to it. And then this person that they're dealing with began to get feelings for them in the direction of taking the relationship to the next level, and then the kids pop up. So when you talk about living together, you have to first find out who you are, what do you really want out of a relationship before you even go to the level of living or trying to live together or even making a commitment into the relationship. If it comes down to it that you do decide to go in that direction of living together, make sure that that partner that you have chosen is going to be someone in for the long run. And when I say that, talk. Communicate, find out what that person's plans are. Are we just going to live together? Are we doing this to save money so we can get married? What is our ultimate goal here? What do we really want out of this relationship? And that comes into the communication part. You have got to communicate and listen. When a person tells you who they are, you need to listen. Do not think that you can say, okay, they're just saying it now, but, you know, I'll bring on my A game and we'll, you know, I'll change their mind and we'll go this way. No, that's the biggest mistake you ever want to make. I tell women that, I tell men that. Don't do it. Do not try to play on another person's emotions. You would end up being the one get played.
Mm. So poetically put. And unfortunately, it's been ending up a lot like that for a lot of individuals. They get into situations thinking, oh, you know, he's just saying that, or, oh, I'll be able to fix that. I'll change him. He won't be able to resist me because I know how to put it on him and stuff. But a lot of times, you know, it's not all about sex or you being able to put it on anyone. It's about, can you deal with the reality of who is and what is before you? And at the end of the day, you know, you got to get up and go to work. It's not always going to be sex and love all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to consider that when you're saying, oh, well, all I got to do is do this. And it's unfortunate that a lot of individuals, young ladies, use their bodies as a weapon and not as God really intended it, but then it's nothing new under the sun. It was used as weapons some since the beginning of time. We found out that by Samson and Delilah.
Right.
Yeah. But as one of the things that I like what you said is be careful that at the end of the day, you won't be the one being plagued.
That's right.
So
right.
In short, you would basically say no marriage, no shacking before marriage.
Right.
You don't think that you will learn more about an individual now because it's like everybody's doing it now. Everybody's shacking, you know. You don't think that individuals will learn more about an individual, because, you know, we've got a lot of weirdos out here now, and you don't really know they're weird until you live with them. What do you say about
and
that?
Then, well, see, that's an issue, because you don't know that weird. Why don't you know that? Because you wasn't paying attention when he was telling you who he was, or when she was telling you
but
who
no,
she was.
No, but then we have a lot of individuals, men and women, that are chameleons. They're able to make you believe that they are who you think they are. And then
a
once they say I
only,
do.
You know, a person can only try to be a chameleon for so long. That is why I say don't rush into anything. Don't make any quick moves on anything, especially living together. You need to listen. You need to communicate. You've got to talk. If that person do not want to talk or don't want to talk about certain things, those are flags. You got to recognize the flags, because you can find out who a person is early on. A lot of times in the first hour, if you're communicating with someone, you're going to get the signs to see who this person really is, because it's everything from body language to certain things that they say. And how, you know, can you look at me while we're talking? Is his eyes or her eyes dancing around? Are they unable to really hold a conversation with you, intimately looking at you? Is it something that they got to do? They got to touch you and talk to you. They're trying to convince you to listen and hear my voice here, not hear what I'm saying, but listen to my voice, listen to my tone. I'm trying to tell you I'm really a nice girl. Listen to them. Why do they have to go there? Why can't you just talk to me? Why do you feel like you need to caress me or caress my ears, saying what you think I want to hear, instead of saying what you need to be saying is, this is who I am, this is me, I'm being transparent. Now, if we can move from here, then we can talk. Then maybe we can take this relationship to another level. But if I have to caress you, if I have to swoo you, and you got to woo me, and you can't be yourself, then you're not being 100 with me. Then I need to step back and take a look. Do I want to go down this road? Or am I woman enough, or am I man enough to say no? And that's why I talk about with children involved. We as adults need to be more careful about who we bring into our lives, because we bring them into our children's lives as well. That's why you got to communicate with people. And you talk about chameleon. A chameleon got to turn another shade sooner or later. But if you talk to them long enough, they will change. And don't try to figure people out. Take the time to learn them, to know them. Get to know them. Because if you try to figure a person out, you will go crazy. Because a lot of times, we can't even figure ourselves out some days. Because our mind changes, men and women. Some of us are emotional. Men are emotional. They think, you know, they come from their soul. But if they're not feeling something, they don't want to do it. And sometimes we as women get upset because why not? You said you would, but if his soul is not in it, he's not feeling, he's going to come from a perspective, I'm feeling you. I'm feeling it in my soul. I feel good with you. I can trust you. I have let my armor down. But you can't force that. You cannot force a man to be on point and do as you think he should do. Same thing with a man when it comes to a woman. A woman will change her mind. Not that she doesn't care or anything, but her mind may float and say, I want to do this instead. But a man has already been in place to do that one thing that you did talk about doing. So that's why I say get to know a person and be able to communicate with them. We have lost that. Communication has gone to text messages and email. So we have desensitized ourselves to communicating with another person. We got to get back to that.
Well, Shirley, we got about 15 minutes left, and the lines are lit up. I have several hands up, and I'm sure they got a lot of questions to ask you, but let me try to eliminate one I think will be the main question is how can they get the book?
You can get the book. It's an e-book. It's going to be in hardcover by this summer, but the e-book is available at smashword.com, and that's smashword.com. And that book is on there. You just put in Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man, or you can go to my website, and it'll give you the information to get to Smashword. My website is shirleymcarter.com. I'm also on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter.
Okay. Okay, so you can find her on Facebook, and of course, simply just put in her name, shirleymcarter.com, and you will see the book on her website and also the link to click to order the book. I have caller ending in 5676. Are you there?
Hi, Dr. Carter. It's Ken. How are you?
Hello.
I'm enjoying the show very much. Hi, Shirley.
Yeah.
I think I love you. I'm really enjoying the things that you're saying and highly intrigued about your book and intend to purchase it. I was really particularly glad to hear you talk about a man being just so turned off that he doesn't want to go that route again. I remember when I was a child, I used to hear older women say that older men don't get married because they're afraid. And for me, it's not that I'm afraid. I'm just tired. And I've been married twice. And then I also had a relationship with a young lady and just didn't work out. And I'm the kind of guy that I give everything, just like you said. I put my soul, my heart and soul into it. And then now I'm at the point that I just have given up. It's not that I haven't gone on, because I have gone on as far as my life. But I just don't want to put myself out there again, simply because, why? It just takes the life out of you. So I really appreciate hearing your perspective on that. But I have a question. I'm not sure if you can answer it quickly, but one of the issues that I often had in my relationship, and I have talked to several other guy friends of mine, females seem to have a problem with saying, I'm sorry, or I was wrong. I mean, my experience has been they might do something nice for me, but to come out and say, you know what, babe, I was just wrong. I can't tell you, if I had a dollar for every time I've heard a guy say something to me, say that to me about their wife or their girlfriend. Do you have any insight on that from your experiences?
Yes. My experience with that is that when you're dealing with some women, not all women are like that, and unfortunately there's quite a few out there that are like that. They have an entitlement attitude, and that entitlement attitude leads them to, I have the power, why should I apologize? I'll just do something for him. Because so often and for so long, some women have been placed in a position or that they've gone through some things in their life and they're not going to, quote, bow to a man again. So they don't apologize, but they'll do something nice for you. When it's very simple, the communication part, there's so many relationships have broken up because we don't communicate. As men and women, we don't communicate anymore. A simple, I'm sorry, baby. I'm wrong. And that would mean so much for a man to hear his woman say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. But we as women so often will hold that back, even if it means giving up the relationship, because we get into that mindset and entitlement, or that we're giving our power away if we apologize. Oh, he's just going to take that and run that in. No, all a man wants to hear is, I'm sorry. And that would mean so much, that would give that man so much juice in his body that that soul would just perk up if they heard those little words, I'm sorry, I was wrong.
I can't tell you how much healing just to hear you even say that it brings to me. Because, I mean, don't do anything special. Just apologize. I know that men know that they're imperfect. Men know they're imperfect. So we'll apologize, most of us, and most times, at least, I think. I know that I do. But is it that women maybe they see themselves as being vulnerable? Or, I mean, we know we're imperfect. We also know that you're imperfect. So let's just say, hey, my bad, and go on. That's all I need to hear, and I'm done with the situation. But I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Okay. I have another caller holding. 8868, you're live.
Hi, Val. It's Sherry.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm good. Great conversation tonight. Really interesting. A lot of insight on relationships. And just wanted to, make a comment to address some of the things that Shirley has talked about. I've been in numerous relationships with people who, I wouldn't say numerous, I'll say one or two, that appear to have been just emotionally impaired. It's like they're stuck. Nice guys, but just stuck. I mean, cannot communicate or is not truthful. And, and I'm the kind of person that, if you want to be polygamous, then just say that. Or if you want to be in a monogamous relationship, then let's see where we can take this. But I find that so many people are just not truthful. And many times if people, and I think it's just important that you give people options. I mean, there are some women, not like me, that would, go for a polygamous relationship as long as they have a man. But just giving people an option to say, maybe I can go along with this because maybe I want to be polygamous too. But on the other hand, if someone is looking for a monogamous relationship, we're all over 25, then, then I would encourage people just to be honest. That's my comment.
Yeah. Point well taken. Thank you so much for sharing that, Sherry. Have a caller holding 8100. You're live.
Yes, this is Jackie Hazel from Supreme Esteem Incorporated. I'm really enjoying the show tonight. I believe that several relationships are in jeopardy because they're still trying to look for that right one, and at the same time holding a new person accountable for what the old person did that they didn't like. And so sometimes they can't see the good for still being angry about a previous relationship and carrying it into the new relationship. And I think that mm-hmm. that really hurts on both sides.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I deal with that in my book about how you take a piece of an old relationship, a piece of a new relationship, and take the glue from the old one and try to piece it together to make a perfect relationship. That is dealt with in the book as well.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for calling in. I tell you, relationship topics are always hot topics here, from Hot Topics from the Soul. We are always, like I said, struggling to pull it together, to hold it together. And sometimes we just can't grasp and pull the pieces together. I have one more caller I'm going to take as time is running out. 2175, you're live.
Hi, everybody. This is Marie. I'm so happy for this because I really do need to ask this question. But the first thing, I've also have been married four times, and the four times that I've been married, I never really put God first. And each time I lived with the men at least 1 year to 2 years before marriage. And that can, you know, make a big no-no. So what I want to ask is that because I'm married now and we're separated and it was very abusive, but the thing was it wasn't abusive as to where that, you know, it was fighting or anything like that. But the two of us would always be as to where that we couldn't communicate, as you say, Shirley. And we're separated now, but we're kind of communicating a little better. So what will you give me in that prospect? But I do know that we all need God in it, you know, to make it really work.
I would, you, one of the things, you know, you got the first key together, and the first one is God first. And then the second one is communicating. Now, you said you're separated. Now, during the separation time, this is a time for you to get to know who you are. And you, I feel you've already realized that you are a child of God because you said in the previous marriages you didn't have God first, but now that you do. So start, you know, making sure that you keep God first in your life and communicate with him. And communicate on the level that you're being totally transparent, because something happened in the marriage to break it down for you guys to separate, and you guys need to deal with that. And you said it was abusive. You know, was it physically or emotionally? You don't have to answer that for me, but that's something that you are going to have to talk about with him. And then whatever it was that you need to forgive yourself for, do that and forgive him. If he, you know, he was abusive to you, forgive him and communicate with him. I don't know if you get back together or not, but at least you are communicating and you can have some type of relationship out of this if it's just friendship. But know that in him also there's some things he needs to talk about. And I'm so glad that you backed that up, what I said about it doesn't matter if you live with someone, you still don't know them, and then you end up marrying them. It's about communicating and having God first in your life. That's the only way you're going to make it past a lot of the things in any relationship. If you got a bad day or whatever, if you're able to talk about it, not, it doesn't necessarily have to be long conversation, but either agree to disagree, but say something. Do not shut it down and throw it on a rug, because then it's just going to build up and explode. And then you'll find yourself angry and fighting about something that's been long gone and past. And you'll be like, well, when did that happen? You don't even remember. But you're angry about it. So communicate and keep it open.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed that, and I needed that.
You're welcome.
Well, this has concluded another Hot Topics from the Soul, but we will be back next week, and we have other individuals that will be sharing about their books and their experiences regarding relationship, because, as I said, this is the month when things get real complicated for a lot of individuals. They go through a lot of emotional traumas. But please visit Shirley's website, ShirleyMCarter.com. That's ShirleyMCarter.com. And also you can email me at SoulTopics@gmail.com if you don't get that. So SoulTopics@gmail.com. And I look forward to hearing from you all next Tuesday, 8 p.m., pass the word, and you can download this show and pass it on to your friends and families, coworkers, and let them know about Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.